This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to inthemoneystocks.com. Welcome. This is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is 10/21/20. This is show number 142. Stimulus or no stimulus? And I'm not talking about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden here. What's the deal, Nick?
Well, it looks like the negotiations are you know, front and center again today. Earlier this morning, I believe the White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows said he's hopeful to get some kind of stimulus deal done over the next 48 hours. And the markets are basically hoping to get that done. You could see the markets are trading up and down on, you know, every headline over the last few sessions, especially in the afternoon, because these meetings have been taking place around 3 o'clock in the afternoon between Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. So we'll see how it all goes. I'm not so sure one way or the other. I have to think both sides want to get some money out there, you know, for their to say that they've done something. If they don't do something, you know, that would be a big negative. I also think the pressure is on House Speaker Pelosi since the Wolf Blitzer interview, where basically she went crazy on the guy because he said, why aren't you taking the $1.8 trillion deal? People need it. So now it's up to about $2 trillion or $2.2 trillion. I mean, I have to think they're going to get some kind of deal passed here. But you never know. And, you know, we'll watch the markets. They're trading up and down basically on every headline. So just be prepared that, you know, you could have some more short-term whipsaw. And, you know, again, we have election risk going on where, you know, we're basically, what, 13 days away, I believe, from the election. So, you know, I would think they would get something done here. Something passed, but you never know.
Hey, well, I'm going to tell you what, Nick, if I get my $1,200, you know what I'm doing?
What are you doing? I'm funding
my Robinhood account. Right now it has a zero balance. I'm going to go all in on Robinhood, and I encourage everyone else to do it as well. You know, we talked about this, maybe $5,000 for any Robinhood account holder. That would really give the market a good jolt, wouldn't it?
It would give those SPAC stocks a jolt. That seems to be what they play. So yeah, you might get a little bump on that. That's certainly a possibility.
Yeah, well, hey, so we're in earnings season here. And, well, interestingly enough, one of the darlings here really got banged, didn't it?
Yeah. You have a really good sell-off today in Netflix, and that's a popular stock. And, you know, it is a darling of the market. That's down $34 today. So it was down around the 500 level, now down around $490. It's a 34-point decline. The reason why I wanted to talk about earnings today is simply because we're going to start to get more of these big high flyer tech stocks reporting earnings. And when you hold these names into earnings, some of them will get big pops, but a lot of them will sell off too. And these moves can be very, very robust. So, you know, you just have to be prepared. If you're going to be one of those people that hold into the earnings announcement, be prepared for some big gyrations, especially in a lot of these high flyers. So, you know, I don't hold stocks into earnings. I get out of them. I'll hold an option into an earnings, because I know that my max risk in any option is the premium paid. But I do not swing trade and hold stocks into earnings. I just think it's too much of a gamble. I can't tell you, you know, how many people I know already have been ringing my phone. I was holding Netflix. What do I do? It's down $35, you know, and, you know, it's too late now. You don't do anything. You sit back and you see where it stabilizes. So, again, there are a lot of names coming out this week and next week. Next week even is going to be a heavier week for companies reporting earnings. So just be aware of that. You'll get Google's and Apple and the rest of those high flyers as well. So just be prepared. The big moves do happen on earnings. Sometimes you can be rewarded, but sometimes you could be absolutely crushed.
And that's really the lesson there. And you don't really know what's going to happen until after it happens, right?
That's correct. You don't know how the market's going to react. And, you know, I don't even look at earnings reports anymore and find out how much money the company made, what did they write down? Because, it's just an accounting joke. But you know, the market always will react one way or the other. And that reaction is everything. So I like to wait for the reaction. And then, you know, at some point I'll be a buyer of Netflix if it gets down to my price. But, you know, again, this is how you want to play earnings. In my opinion, you wait for the reaction. If it goes up, then, you know, you wait for a retrace. If it goes down, you know, you can find a good support level, and that's where you could buy the stock as long as the overall trend is up. And that's what it is right now.
Yeah, Netflix, just to delve a little bit into the fundamentals, the fact is that their subscriber growth fell off a cliff. And I guess the competition that's out there is starting to take a toll.
Well, you know, you have to think about it. Everything now is digital. Everything's on people's cell phones. You could, you know, you have so many of these platforms out there with videos and everything else. And, you know, going forward, I don't know what Netflix really is going to do. But, you know, again, I think the marketplace is a little bit sour on Hollywood in general since the pandemic. So, you know, you would think that that stock benefited greatly from the lockdowns. But people are looking to get out now. They're not looking to be locked up in the house anymore. And I think that one movie they came out with, Cuties, I think that might have hurt them, severely hurt them, as people just, I know a lot of people personally that canceled their Netflix subscription.
Hey, and they were indicted by the Attorney General of Texas for child porn, basically. So they've got issues. Don't forget who's on their board. And we'll see where that thing winds up. But they don't really have a proprietary edge anymore. They've lost various studios' movies, as, for instance, Disney opens its own streaming service, and they've kind of lost their first mover advantage has been eroded.
Yeah, I agree. And you see, you know, Viacom now is looking to start their streaming service up. You have Hulu, like you said before, it's just a lot of competition now. So again, we'll watch the charts. At some point it becomes a value, but not right now.
And, you know, the thing is, like, most people now are watching these, not so much on their computer or tablets, but on their smart TVs. And the smart TVs have got everybody's app there, and they can add a new app for a new service. So it's not like a few years ago when you got your apps on the smart TV, you were stuck with them. Really hard to add. Now it's just you click a button and you've got the Disney channel or whatever. So it doesn't matter, the Disney streaming service.
Yeah, it's a great point. And it just goes back to, you know, the amount of competition that they're facing. So again, you know, I'll watch the chart. When it gets down low enough, then I think it will be a play. But right now, anytime you have an earnings announcement, I generally would wait at least 3 to 5 days, let the dust settle a little bit. Then you could go back and look at the stock to see if it's got something there for a trade. But this is a pretty big sell-off today. So break some critical support levels. Believe it or not, this is a stock. I was doing some math on it earlier. It could go down to $400 at some point. So yeah, be aware of that.
And Netflix is getting slammed while the broader markets are going up.
That's another great point. So that's telling you the stock doesn't have any real relative strength at this point in time. So in my opinion, when I see that, that even keeps me further away from being a buyer.
Okay, so let's go to gold and silver. I know you don't follow Bitcoin. We're going to lump that in together. Bitcoin just had an announcement. PayPal is getting into cryptos, and this has had the effect of pushing Bitcoin over $12,000, which to me was a key technical resistance point. There might not be anything stopping it till like 19,000 again, Nick.
Yeah, well, I do look at Bitcoin. I don't own it personally, but I do track it because a lot of our membership wants to know about it. And today, the big announcement with PayPal that gave the Bitcoin a big, big boost. It's up almost 7% today. Above $1,300 now by a touch. You know, when you look at something, if it goes parabolic, your next big level would be the next whole round number, which would be 14,000. So that would be your bigger support, bigger resistance level at this stage of the game. But really, really good move for Bitcoin today. We'll see where it closes and we'll see how it plays out. But it is overbought at this stage of the game and a bit parabolic on the daily chart. So it will need to do some backing and filling and some consolidating then you know, it could work its way up to, you know, 14,000. But I don't see Bitcoin going back to its old high, which I believe was 19,000. What was that, 2 Decembers ago or 2 years ago in December, I believe?
December 17th, because I wrote an article. I wrote an article then, early December, after the North American Bitcoin Conference, urging everybody to sell half their Bitcoin, and that it was going to take a huge hit because it was tulip mania on steroids. And some people listened to me, but most did not. And we are where we are today. Gold and silver, though, are moving up with the market, Nick.
Yeah, gold and silver acting really, really well today. You have gold futures, as we speak, higher by about $17.50, right around $19.33 an ounce. And then you have silver today also behaving, and we're acting really, really well. That's up about 1.3%. Silver actually has been stronger than gold recently on the chart by a little bit, showing better relative strength. So good move in both gold and silver. And then you have the miners today actually doing pretty well also. They're up almost 2% on the GDX and the GDXJ, which is the junior miner. So they're having a good day all the way around. And, you know, I think they still need to do some more backing and filling with the market. But the market pushes higher. Gold is probably going to coattail it and go higher as well in the near term.
And one thing I'd like to bring mention and get your feedback on as far as mining stocks are concerned. Normally, this time of year in Canada, because they have better rules than we do about tax loss selling, we're getting into the big Canadian tax loss season where they just sell the stocks to capture the losses to offset their gains, which is a strategy in the U.S., but it's even more favorable tax-wise in Canada. However, in this instance, since March, we've seen the Toronto venture more than double. It's up almost 130-something percent, I believe. And that is where all the miners are traded, or the vast majority, except for the real majors, which there you'll find on the TSX, the main Toronto Stock Exchange, and on the American exchanges. My point is, and I got a little sidetracked, you don't have the tax loss selling because you don't have the losses, because the TSX Venture has been a money loser from early 2012 onward up to recently, up to like a year ago. There are still a lot of stocks in the red, so that could change this market considerably, couldn't it?
Sure, it could. You know, Canada holds a lot of these junior miners, especially in the venture. So, that definitely has. Adds to the equation out here. I try to sift through all of that noise with just the chart pattern. And like I've been saying, I actually like what gold miners are doing. They're going sideways. That's the best pattern anybody could hope for if you are bullish. And you see the same pattern in gold itself. You see the same pattern on the junior miners here, which is, you can follow that via the GDXJ. So, I mean, the pattern is actually really, really good to go higher. Just might need to do a little bit more consolidating on the bigger time frame, meaning, you know, a weekly and monthly chart. But these are good patterns, and you know, you're going to get those gyrations day to day, especially as you get into tax loss selling season, or you know, people just taking profits, not knowing who's going to win the presidency or something along those lines. So right now, I actually like, and I'm very encouraged by the pattern in all of the gold charts.
All right, so gold, silver, we talked about copper. Where is copper at right now?
Yeah, so copper has stalled out a little bit in September, but it's gone right back up, and it's at new highs. And, you know, I've been saying I think copper is going, you know, to 350. Right now it's at 320. So I actually like copper to go higher. It does need to probably do a little bit of backing and filling or stalling, but copper just continues to move up, and it's a powerful, powerful move. And there's more in that chart. So again, copper, you know, making new highs as we speak today.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable. And on the one hand, that would under traditional analysis point to probably a strengthening economy around the world. But on the other hand, could be that we're seeing it as an inflation play, right?
I believe so. I think it's more of an inflation play than it is an economic growth play, just because the charts, you know, do we see any real economic growth? I mean, you have lockdowns going on. You have states here in the U.S. that just refuse to open. You have lockdowns abroad, you know, whether it's in Europe, whether it's in Australia, which, I mean, they're really locked down. So again, when I look at copper, you know, I try not to think of why it's going up, but just that the pattern's telling me that it is going up. And I've made some really good money this year in a lot of the copper plays. And I think we'll continue to do that going forward as long as that trend remains up and the trend is up. And that's, you know, you just want to stick with that trend as long as you can until it tells you otherwise.
All right. So we got one question I wanted to cover, and you kind of brought it up. The issue of swing trades. First, can you just tell us what a swing trade is in your lexicon?
Sure. So what a swing trade is, it's basically you're looking to capture a trade for a few days to a few weeks. And you're looking to trade a stock from a very good support level to a resistance level if you're long. And if you're short, you're going to sell a stock from a resistance point to a level where the institutional traders will be buyers, and you look to cover that trade. So basically, you're not looking to ride out the whole entire move and stay in it. What you do is you're looking to trade it up to its resistance point on a long trade, and that's where you take your profit. Then you wait, and if it gives you another setup, then you get back in it. It's predominantly what I do. I'm really a swing trader at heart. And like I said, I've been in a several copper names over and over, because I just wait for the pattern again, then I jump back in those charts and trade them again. But that's really what a swing trader is, as opposed to a position trader, which is somebody that's going to get into a trade and is more like an investor. They're going to be in there in that position for a long duration, a long period of time.
Okay, so that clears that up, and that's where the charts come in, why they're so important, right?
Yeah, that's exactly where you have to look and break down charts into different time frames, like I do each and every day. You have to know the overall global picture. You know, where's the money flow going? Is money flow coming into U.S. markets? Is it going into, you know, the European markets? Where is it going? So you track that all via the charts, and you could tell that by your trend. But yeah, predominantly I'm a swing trader for the most part. A lot of times I will look at the overall bigger picture, like copper, and then I'll get in continually on a pullback, and I'll try to make money that way and maximize the overall trend in what we call the bigger picture, meaning a weekly or monthly chart time frame.
All right. So that's it for today. Go over, take a look at inthemoneystocks.com, Nick's site, where you'll find all of his trading records going back for many, many years. Take a look at the Twitter feeds at ITMS, at NickSantiago01, at Kerry Lutz. Send us your emails. Keep them coming. You see we're answering them. KL@KerryLutz.com. Nick, we'll pick up tomorrow.
Sounds good, Kerry.
And so concludes another episode of Daily Market Wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Be sure to go to his website, inthemoneystocks.com. Don't forget the Twitter feeds, at ITMS and at NickSantiago01.